All right, let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day you've given to us. We thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy to us. Would you just commit this time to you now? We need you, Lord, to understand your word, to understand what it means to be a friend and to have a friend, but to understand it through a biblical worldview. Your word is sufficient. It is enough even to speak to relationships. And we know you are the God of friendship and the God of relationship. So help us, Lord, to be more like you when it comes to friendship. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of my favorite movies growing up was Toy Story. I don't like the more recent ones, but the originals are always better in my opinion. It's interesting to hear people's summaries of the movie. If you've never seen Toy Story before, you might think some people's understanding of it is a thriller or horror film. One person's summary said this: Toy Story is about the secret life of toys when people are not around. When Buzz Lightyear, a space ranger, takes Woody's place as Andy's favorite toy, Woody doesn't like the situation and he gets into a fight with Buzz. Accidentally, Buzz falls out of the window and Woody is accused by all the other toys of having killed him. He has to go out of the house to look for him so that they can both return to Andy's room. But while on the outside, they get into all kinds of trouble while trying to get home. Well, this way, Toy Story sounds like a vindictive, twisted, kind of creepy doll come to life horror movie, according to this person. But if I were to offer my two cents, Toy Story really tells a story of friendship. Now, the creators of Toy Story set the tone of friendship with that famous opening song, "You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and we see it through, because you've got a friend in me. And as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're going to see it's our destiny. You've got a friend in me." Now, you might hear a song like that and have somebody pop into your mind and think, wow, that person is a real friend. But then you might hear a song like that and think, man, that's discouraging. I feel like I maybe don't have any friends. Especially as you are beginning the school year, it's a weird time. Some of you are new in school, new grades, new classes, new floors, new teachers, new people. It could feel lonely or discouraging, especially when you feel like you don't have a solid friend or friend group you can really lean on and trust. That no matter who you are or what happens, you have someone who can say, "You've got a friend in me." Well, this week and next week, we are going to look at what the Bible says about biblical friendship and relationship. What does the Bible have to say about what friendship is, what to look for in a friendship, how to ruin a friendship, and how to make a friendship? Tonight, I have a handout for you, but you can follow along a little bit. I hope that's helpful to you. But first major point I really want to look at together when it comes to friendship is, number one, the meaning of biblical friendship. The meaning of biblical friendship. Now, if I were to put a definition on a biblical friendship, it would be this: biblical friendship is when believers in Christ self-sacrificially seek, see, and share in others for Christ. Let me say that again. Biblical friendship is when believers in Christ self-sacrificially seek, see, and share in others for Christ. Let's break down this definition a little bit. True friends are going to be those who are in Christ and not of the world. Your closest friends should be those of other believers. Friends bring influence. As one New England Christian put it, a man is made by his friends. And there are several warnings in Scripture about becoming friends with the world and the influence that that brings. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's really clear here in James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world sets himself as an enemy of God. Those are strong warnings against partnering with the world, isn't it? As believers, you're made of different stuff. As a believer, you are in Christ, which we talked about all last year. God's Spirit lives in you, and you are one with God and one with God's people. That means what we have the most in common with, everything that is spiritual, your goal and mission in life, your desires and loves, your overall person is going to be most similar to other Christians. What I'm not talking about is things like sports, music, or whatever that you have in common with people, but an actual loving relationship. And that's where the rest of this definition comes from. Believers in Christ self-sacrificially seek, see, and share in others for Christ. The main Greek word for a friend in the New Testament is one of the words for love. We have a close, intimate connection with God and His people. And love works. It does something. As believers, we practice the love of God by denying ourselves and pursuing others. We seek out others, we see them, and share in them. Even if you have to give something up, like your time, popularity, a meeting, a sport, whatever, if you're going to have a biblical friendship, you may need to give that up in order to pursue a really good friendship. Biblical friends share in each other's company, their companionship, the joys, the trials, and just each other. This is all made possible because of Christ, because we are in Christ, and we strive together for the glory of Christ. We have the same goal and mission, which is His glory. Now, we actually see an example of this type of godly friendship in Scripture, and that's why, second, I want to look at the modeling of biblical friendship. The modeling or the model of biblical friendship. Look in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and go ahead and turn there now. 1 Samuel 18 verses 1 through 4. In 1 Samuel 18 all the way through chapter 20 and even into 2 Samuel chapter 1, we see this example of biblical love and the friendship of David and Jonathan. Just one chapter earlier, David had just killed Goliath. Now, Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And so David was rising, and he would soon become king in Israel, according to God's promise. But Saul was becoming jealous of David. And in the midst of all the drama, an unlikely friendship formed. Look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Now, it happened when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan cut a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him, and he gave it to David with his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. Now, some people have taken this passage totally out of context to even promote homosexuality and say something like, oh, see, well, David and Jonathan loved each other, and Jonathan even took off his robe for David. Now, listen to me. That is a total perversion and twist and corruption of this text. That is not what this text is teaching at all. What we see here is a loyal, loving friendship. And we don't have time to dive into all of that tonight, but the love that they had for each other is the Hebrew word chesed, chesed. And you got to really use the back of your throat when you're saying that. Try and say that. It's chesed. And it's the word where we get loving kindness whenever you see that word pop up in your Bible. Or another way of thinking about it is God's covenant loyal love. David and Jonathan both loved God and they believed in his promises. They were so united that they were like a knot tied together. And that's the type of commitment they had for one another. Okay, now remember who Jonathan's dad was? King Saul. And what does that make Jonathan? A prince, an heir to the throne. But do you see this? Jonathan was so committed to God and to God's choosing of David to be the next king that Jonathan made a promise and a commitment to David. And he gave David his royal robe and armor because he saw him and recognized him as the new heir to the throne. Whew, I don't know about you, but that's the type of friend I want. A friend that I can be connected to, that I love and they love me, committed to each other and sacrifice for each other because of our God. What we see in this friendship is the true markings of a biblical friendship. And that's the third point for this evening, the markings or the marks of a biblical friendship. Okay, here's how you can remember the marks of a true biblical friend. Ready? It's friends are gems. Friends are gems that gel. Friends are gems that gel. Now, a friend is a gem can mean that they're really precious to you. And if you gel, it means you fit together or you work together really well. Now, me personally, I use gel on my hair every day. But if I don't put gel on my hair, it turns into a big fluff ball. But with gel, right, when you use gel, it sticks and it sticks together. So to say friends are gems that gel, though, actually has an even deeper meaning. It's an acronym, and it gives us the three marks of a biblical friendship. Your friends should have these three marks. A love for God, that's your G, love for God. A love, number two, a love for each other, that's your E, love for each other. Then at number three, a love for like-mindedness. A love for like-mindedness. And that's your L and your M right there. Now, I gave you a bunch of passages here, which we just don't have time to get into. But I gave them to you so that you could go back and look on your own. But to summarize, all believers should have a love for God and a love for each other. But what will really make the difference on who will be your close friend is how like-minded they are with you in those areas. Someone who's going to sharpen you and edify you. Someone who's going to build you up in your relationship with Christ. Someone who will be open with you and you can be open with them and what you're struggling and going through. Someone who's going to know you well and develop a deep connection. Someone who will meet your needs and seek you out and you to them. Someone who will bring you joy and will bring joy to you. You will bring them joy and joy to you as well. Someone who you can have one mind and one spirit with and pursuing Jesus together. Friends are gems that gel. And it's all grounded in biblical love, just like David and Jonathan. Now, this all sounds great, but I'm sure most of us maybe have not experienced this type of friendship. Either we ourselves or other people do a really good job of messing things up. Because even if we're Christians, we're still just sinners saved by grace. And sometimes that old nature and that old man can come out, especially against the people we love the most. Well, what I'd like to look at briefly together is really how to not make a friend, or how to not keep friendships. That's why number four, I want to look at number four, the meddling of biblical friendship, or the messing up of biblical friendship. The first way to meddle or mess up a biblical friendship is, number one, making friendship about yourself. James chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil practice." If you have friends to just boost yourself, then you're not really being a friend. And probably those aren't real friends, just people following you. It's like that commercial where a guy had his phone and he was running from thousands of his Twitter followers, and he ran into a restaurant just to sit down with a few good, close friends. Friendship is not about being popular, and it's not about having a ton of followers, but it's finding a few good friends who love and will love you. Number two, making friendship an idol. An idol is something that you love more than God. It's something you give more of your time, attention, and care to than the Lord. Now, if your friendship or relationship status determines if you're happy or not, then most likely you've elevated that idea of friendship to a sinful level. If you think more about how you can get the most attention or gain the most friends more than God, then maybe that's an idol in your life. John tells us in 1 John 5:21, he warns us, he says, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Hey, friendship, listen, friendship's a good thing. Let's guard our friendships to make sure they aren't first before our relationship with the Lord. The quantity of your friends is not as important as the quality of your friends. Listen to that again. The quantity of friends you have is not as important as the quality of the friends you have. Keep God first in your friendships. Number three, making friendship into conflict. People center sometimes their whole friendships and relationships on the latest gossip, the issues that are going on, what's wrong with people or the world. If you want to ruin a friendship, then you're going to get into fights with people. Like many of the Proverbs talk about, which we will be going through on Sundays, stirring up strife, speaking harshly, being quick-tempered, storing up bitterness, leaning on your own understanding, and not telling the truth are all recipes for a friendship to explode. So you might be asking, well, then how do I make friends? And this is our final point tonight. Number five, the making of biblical friendship. The making of biblical friendship. Number one, have the right perspective. This is the design of friendship. Why friendship? The right perspective, the design of friendship. Why friendship? Having a friendship like we talked about today is really hard. It's hard to find friends. It's hard to keep friends. It's hard when we're hurt by our friends. We need to remind ourselves why we have friendships in the first place. Now, although relationships can be hard, remember that we are not in charge. God is in charge. And if we pray and ask the Lord for a friendship like this, He's the one who will bring different people in your life. So try not to be discouraged, but trust in who God has in your life today is for a reason and a purpose. Dive deep into the people God has in front of you. Remember, God is the God of friendship. And as you pursue the Lord, you can pursue these friendships and really find great joy and companionship. So although it's hard, know that it is worth it. One middle-aged theologian put it this way, "A genuine friendship must begin in Christ, continue in Christ, and be perfected in Christ. and human affairs, nothing more sacred is striven for, nothing more useful is sought after, nothing more difficult is discovered, nothing more sweet experienced, and nothing more profitable possessed. For friendship bears fruit in this life and in the next. Okay, number two, the right parameters. The right parameters. So this is the degrees of friendship. What is a friend? The degrees of friendship. What is a friend? We need to have the right parameters. Friendships may come and go. Some last a lifetime maybe, but some may just last a moment. There's a saying that there are friends for a reason, friends for a season, friends for a lifetime. There are different levels of friendship you may have with people at different times. Now, I adapted the chart in your notes from Joel Beeke's book on friendship, where he says there are four circles of friendship. You have acquaintances, you have allies, you have companions, you have confidants. That's the inner circle. And those confidants are going to be really rare in your life. There's not going to be many of those. My encouragement to you is to think through the friends in your life. Who are really the people you can trust and are your closest friends? Number three, the right prospect, the decisions of friendship. The right prospect, the decisions of friendship. Who is my friend? Who is my friend? Not everybody in your life is going to be in that inner circle, and not everyone in your life will be that closest friend. Many people won't be in any of these circles because they're just strangers. And as you make these decisions on the company you keep in your life, remember just to be wise and be careful of who you let it, of really who will cause you and tempt you and make you fall into sin. Proverbs 22 and verse 24 through 25 gives us that warning. It says, "Do not befriend a man of anger. Do not come along with a man of great wrath, lest you learn his ways and take on a snare against your soul." Friends are influence. Friends can make you or break you spiritually. It's true. Friends can make you or break you spiritually. Friends are influence. But I pray the principles we outlined today can help you really carefully choose who are your closest friends. Finally, number four, we have the right process, the development of friendship. The right process, developing a friendship. How do I make and keep friends? One preacher, Haddon Robinson, once said, "Even strong friendships require watering, or they shrivel up and blow away." Like anything that's active and has life, it needs to be cared for and nurtured. And that's the same for your friendships and relationships. The following list I've given you in your notes is adapted from Joel Beeke's book on friendship, where he offers this process to make and keep friends. The list is this: talk together, listen together, serve together, enjoy life together, think together, be together, trust together, pray together. Man, if you can do that with someone, that is definitely a friend who will seek, see, and share life together in and for Christ. And a type of friend you can say, "You've got a friend in me." Well, there's a lot there to unpack. So let me pray for us as we seek to practice these friendships in our life and practically apply this with one another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for just these reminders of truth from your word, the examples from scripture, just principles of really living out a Christian life, but doing it in the context of our friendship. Pray for these students that they would have good friends in their life, Perhaps some in this room will last a lifetime, perhaps some just for a season. But whoever you have in our lives today, may we make the most of these people, these friendships, for the sake of Christ and for his glory. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.